Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
Not perpetuating fraud of any type.
That's good. That's good that you wanted to clarify that right off the bat.
Well, you know, this episode, you makes you question people.
I am also not perpetuating fraud. I'll make that clear as well. No fraud here.
No tax avoidance either.
No tax avoidance. I do not avoid taxes. Hi, guys. We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month. You can gain access to all of our bonus content. Certainly encourage you to check that out. I would like to say congratulations to our Extra Life contest winner. Everyone who donated to Extra Life, our Extra Life Drive, got a chance to guest star in a future episode. Nick G., one, I've already contacted him. He has chosen an episode, so he'll be joining us at a later date. But congrats and thanks to everyone who donated. It's a great cause, one I really support and appreciate. Also, if you have a question for our mailbag episode, be coming out in a few weeks. Anything you want to ask me and Matt about The Simpsons or life? I already got a bunch of questions. If you have one you'd like to ask, please send it our way. Also,
we're going on hypothetical help.
Hypothetical help?
Indeed, we help you, but in a hypothetical way. Our suggestions are not legally binding, thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, if you want advice, you could ask for that. I would not suggest doing that. That's probably bad. also, please help us, give us a review on iTunes, subscribe, all that good stuff helps us out. Gets new people to listen to the show, we really appreciate it. On to this week's episode, it is Bart the Fink, episode 3, F12, originally aired February 11th, 1996, written by John Swartzwelder, meaning the teleplay, the actual writing was done by John Swartzwelder. The story was Bob Cushell. I guess his idea was this the basis of this episode. It's always weird to me when they split those things up, because there's a lot of episodes where they say the actual idea was this guy and he doesn't get story credit. So I don't know why this one.
Maybe it's just like the script had to be so heavily rewritten they just handed it to somebody and said, look, this is a good idea for a story. But it really needs to.
I don't think Bob Cushell even wrote anything. I think he just had the idea after, like, hey, Krusty gets tax problems and fakes his own death. I don't know. This episode directed by Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein, who are also showrunners for these seasons. So he finished 64th in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 8.7, fifth highest rated show on Fox that week, following Melrose Place, The X Files, Beverly Hills 90210, and Married with Children.
That's right, all you people back then who are watching this and who are Nielsen families, you disgust me.
But Melrose Place was so good that week, didn't you know?
I did not. I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Melrose Place.
That's our after we finish this, that's what our next podcast is going to be, Matt. We're going to do a Melrose Place rewatch.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, no, we're not going to do that. Maybe I Love Lucy. Maybe I Love Lucy. That'd probably be good.
I would be interested in doing an episode or two, maybe a season or so.
No, we're going to do all of them.
Well, we'll see how the first few go.
The couch gag is the couch is a fax machine that spews out a piece of paper with the Simpsons family in a sitting position. Eh, it's all right.
Yeah, yeah, it's simple, I guess.
Yeah. Episode guest stars Bob Newhart as himself and Phil Hartman as Troy McClure in the same scene. The episode begins with the Simpson family at the reading of the will for their great Aunt Hortense, who has died.
May I offer my condolences on the untimely passing of your great aunt Hortense. As her only living heirs, you stand to inherit her entire estate.
Poor Aunt Hortense. Woohoo!
Woohoo! The only stipulation is that you spend one night in a haunted house.
Oh, isn't that somewhat unusual?
No, it's a standard clause.
Well, luckily, there's no such thing as ghosts. Yes, there's no such thing as ghosts. Best night's sleep I ever had.
Their tap water tasted better than ours.
Here you go. $100 each.
The rest went to Ann Landers.
As is stipulated in her will.
Which he continued to read. I didn't include the rest of the will reading guy.
Yeah, he's not important, thankfully.
Yeah, they get $100 each. And Bart wants to buy 100 tacos for $100. I mean, I would say just don't buy them all at once.
Yeah, it's true. $100 worth of tacos seems like a lot unless you're a comic book guy and have a Doctor Who marathon to get through.
Elisa wants to support public broadcasting, which Marge doesn't want her to throw her money away. so they go to the bank where everyone is dressed like a monkey or an ape, I guess, to be specific. It's important. Apes and monkeys are not the same thing. You're lose it all to fees, Matt? Is that we're going to...
That's true. Well, I mean, basically, if they put their money in the bank, banks generally charge you a monthly maintenance fee unless you're getting a direct deposit or have a certain minimum balance, which maybe $100 was over the minimum balance back then, but now it's like $1,500. So more than likely, at least half of their money would be taken by fees by the time they spend it.
Or they could have student accounts. Student accounts have no fees.
Depending on the bank. Yeah, you're right.
I had a student account for 7 years, well after I graduated. Just never correct
them. Like, hey, wait a minute.
They'll never change, and they don't care. Bart gets a checking account. Great idea. But he does invest in some really nice checks.
I got their new Thrifty Saver Savings account. 2.3% annual interest instead of the normal 2.25. So a year from now, I'll have an extra nickel.
I got the account where you get free customized checks. I chose the Hindenburg Flipbook series.
Cool. Checking accounts aren't really for children, Bart.
No, Mom, I can handle it. Let's see. Pay to the order of Lisa. 1 cent. And no cents. And now the old John Hancock. Here you go.
Thank you.
I really liked Lisa's like, I'll take that penny. You know, she like is already invested in a savings account to get that whole 5 cents on her for a whole year.
Yep. So she'll have that extra nickel in a few years.
And Marge tells Bart that checking accounts are for children, but then she took him to the bank. Like, what did she want him to do?
Yeah, it's like you could stop him from doing that.
Like, he wanted to spend the money, and you told him it was not a wise decision. We get Bart writing checks to everyone. Milhouse gets a check for $1 million. It's a post-dated check. Was it year 3,000?
1 million. Oh, year, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Milhouse is gonna have to wait a while. Jimbo gets a check. How much did you catch? How much Jimbo's check was written out for? It was very quick. It was very fast. But Jimbo is gonna continue bullying Bart until his check clears. And Bart, it's at this point that we cut to Bart trying to get an autograph from Krusty.
Right.
Yeah. Is there any? I'm trying to think if there's any like. Is there any mention of Krusty up until this point?
Nope. This is the first time.
Yeah, I thought so. It just like thinking about it, it's a little abrupt. But Bart wants Krusty's signature. He can't get it. Maybe Krusty would have more time to write more to like get more autographs if he didn't spend all that time giving Milhouse a gigantic autograph on his stomach.
I'm pretty sure Krusty's experienced enough celebrity. He was just like, slap, 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 slap. All right, it's done.
But so Bart wisely, at least in his mind, he thinks he's very clever. He's like, I'll write him a check. Then if he wants the money, he'll have to sign it. And then I'll have his autograph.
Yeah, he wants that 25 cents.
I mean, I think you would cash it. If I would assume Krusty would be receiving multiple checks every week. It's like merchandise deals and like stuff like that. So he'd probably just cash them all at once and not care if one is less than the others. This episode, like as I watched it, I'm like, this is most Simpsons episodes honestly feel, you know, they don't feel dated. You know, they feel like you can watch them almost at any time and you don't go like, this episode feels like it was written 50 years ago or something. But
that's true.
They don't
have like technology or weird stuff that dates it.
Yeah, but this one, like, who still uses a checking account and looks at their statements? And the fact that the checking stuff plays so heavily into the episode, it does date it, I think, a little bit.
That's probably true at this point, because who's written a check in the last who knows when?
I write checks when I absolutely have to. That is the only time.
I can't remember the last time I wrote a check. It's been years.
I'm trying to remember.
Do you guys have to write checks to pay rent?
No. I mean, we just, it gets, I don't really consider that writing a check, because when you just tell your bank to send this check month or whatever, or bill pay, it's the same thing you do for for our utilities. You know, it's just like, hey, send the money, and it technically, I guess, is a check, because it's not really a transfer. It is still a check, but it's just the bank auto-checking. It's not really...
Right.
I don't fill out a check. What am I, caveman?
I don't write with an actual pen, then people would never be able to read it.
I know. But it's at this point Bart gets his cash checks, his statement back, I guess, with the autographs. You can tell how did this ever work like this, where you got the
checks back?
Yeah,
the signatures on them.
Yeah, is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've never gotten that.
I think they've stopped doing it now. They just send you an image of the check. But back in the day, back in the 90s, yeah.
Oh, okay. Man, life's hard. Weird now. How did people bank? How did you bank? How did you do life back then when you didn't have, like, cards that just had all your money on them?
I think we got, like, super lucky. Like, we started adulting, like, right when the internet came around. And we're just like, this is so easy. And everything else is like, oh, no.
God, having to write checks and keep track of each one? That sounds like insanity. Oh, it's crazy. But Bart is waiting. He wants Krusty's signature. So he's looking through all his checks. We find out Jimbo's real name is Corky. That's
yay, Corky.
Quite a name. But Krusty didn't sign his check. He stamped it. He stamped his check with his Cayman Island Holding Company.
That's not suspicious at all.
Not suspicious whatsoever. So Bart goes to the bank to ask, because he's like... us, he doesn't understand how this all works, and he's like, Mr. Bankman, why didn't Krusty sign this? And the guy's like, well, Krusty didn't sign it, he didn't have to. You know, when people have a lot of checks, they just use stamps, and he stamped it with the Cayman Island Holding Corporation, which he finds a little suspicious. He makes some phone calls, and eventually they end up calling, I guess, the contact man for the Cayman Island Holding Corporation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't divulge information about that customer's secret illegal account. Oh, crap. I shouldn't have said it was a customer. Oh, crap. I shouldn't have said it was a secret. Oh, crap. I certainly shouldn't have said it was illegal. It's too hot today.
It's apparently that guy's modeled after an actor named Sidney Greenstreet.
Interesting.
That was in Casablanca. I mean, I've seen
Casablanca.
I've seen Casablanca. I don't remember this guy, but apparently he was that's who this character is modeled after. Oh crap. The feds, I would think they would need a little bit more evidence than just some guy on the phone, but whatever. It's you got to move fast.
They would need a lot more evidence. Let's be honest here.
The sequence all happens in the same day. Like, we see they even timestamp it as the phone calls get all taken place, and Krusty ends up getting arrested while he's trying to pop some corn, that he bought himself. And Bart is just waiting there the entire time, and the bank is closing down for the day, and the teller, breaks the news that Krusty has been arrested.
Oh, kid, gosh, I meant to tell you. Turns out that Krusty is one of the biggest tax cheats in history, and they nailed him, all thanks to you. Some might say you're a hero, kid. Not me, however. I love Krusty.
Oh, yeah.
This episode definitely is very much, I think, if it's about anything, it's about the difference between celebrities and normal people, and how we interact with them, and how society, how culture interacts with them, and how we treat them differently, and how even people expect them to be treated differently and often want them to be treated differently.
Well, yes, because they're celebrities. They're better than us. They're, socially better.
Good. I like that, man. That's a good callback. But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see that there's a news report on Krusty.
Ladies and gentlemen, Krusty the Clown was arrested today for massive tax fraud. Krusty's years of tax evasion would never have... Avoidion, it's a crime, look it up. Would never have... Evasion. I don't say evasion, I say avoidion. Would never have come to light if not for a crafty little boy named Bart Simpson.
You know, I never really turned it up super loud except when I capture these clips. So if you do, you can actually hear the guy in the background saying, "What is avoidance? It's evasion." Bart is, of course, incredibly despondent at this. Lisa tries to reassure him, but Bart assures her that, "Oh, I'll just get beat up a ton at school tomorrow." Because, you know, that's how it goes. When you send your hero to jail and your friend's his hero, they will beat up on you. It's just the way it happens. But then we see Krusty and his meeting with the IRS, and things do not go well.
Oh, I can't go to jail! I got a swanky lifestyle! I'm used to the best!
Krusty, this is America. We don't send our celebrities to jail. We're just going to garnish your salary.
Garnish my salary?
Please, Krusty, no jokes.
Who's joking? I don't know what you're saying. It all sounds so crazy to me.
That simply means we'll be taking part of your salary until your debt is repaid. Say 75% for 40 years.
But I don't plan to live that long.
Well, better make it 95%.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, you know, 95%. He must owe a lot of money.
Garnish? Well, they're going to garnish his salary, right?
That's true. I love when someone garnishes my celery, mostly with peanut butter. Because, man, peanut butter and celery is good.
Why you got to just eat the peanut butter? Why we got to get celery involved with it at all? Come on.
I like the crunch, especially if it's creamy peanut butter. I got to have celery or something because creamy peanut butter on itself is awful.
How about creamy crackers? We got Ritz crackers. Just get some buttery Ritz cracker in there.
It's good, but I like the wateriness of the celery. It smoothens out the peanut butter a little bit because otherwise the peanut butter gets really stuck in your mouth. I mean, you've had just a peanut butter on white bread situation where you're like, I mean, that one guy couldn't win his trivia question with Aaron Burr back in the 90s. You remember that, right?
I have no idea. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, man. It's the only reason before Hamilton that I knew that Aaron Burr
I was
shot,
about to say, like, Hamilton. Is this a Hamilton joke? Because I'm not going to get all those.
No, there was a commercial back in the 90s of some guy he's trying to call in. Oh, it was a Got Milk ad. That's what it was.
Okay. That makes sense.
Peanut butter. And, you know, yeah. So,
but,
yeah.
You know. That's why you cut the peanut butter. That's why you include, obviously peanut butter and jelly. I'm a big peanut butter and jelly guy. But you could do peanut butter and honey. It's also really good. Peanut butter and cream cheese.
Banana.
Cream cheese. Peanut butter and cream cheese.
No, sorry. Too salty for a mix.
Salty? Cream cheese isn't salty.
Yeah, it is. You eat a bagel with cream cheese and then eat a bagel by itself and tell me there's not an addition of quite a bit of salt.
Well, there's salt in everything. But it's not the flavor I think of when I think of cream cheese is not salt.
Really? What do you think of?
Well, let me think of what cream cheese the word is. It says cream cheese. So I like have it's like a creamy cheese flavor.
See, I always associated cheese with a salty flavor, but
that, like, well,
I think
Parmesan,
little...
Parmesan cheese, maybe. That's very salty, but that's like the only cheese I really
Parmesan
associate.
Is like savory. It's like Parmesan is the most umami of cheese.
You probably buy that fancy Parmesan cheese. I get the Parmesan cheese that's really in a shake. I get the shake can of Parmesan cheese that's like half wood pulp. So it's very salty.
It's mostly cellulose. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I like my wood pulp cheese. Leave me alone.
Oh, man. We went way out of far on that one. Okay. So at this point, the IRS has taken over Krusty's show, and they've basically, cut the budget a little bit. So now we have Herschel Krustofsky's clown-related entertainment show. It's no longer Krusty the Clown because he's not really a clown anymore. He's got the makeup and the weird hair, but there's no sets, props, or sideshow Mel. And when Krusty's attempt to be hit by a pie, the IRS guy throws a briefcase at him instead. Sorry, give me a second.
It's pretty good.
Just thinking about that. Oh, okay. Excuse me. Sorry. We then learn that they have also seized Krusty Burger. And we see the Simpsons in their inaugural experience at the IRS Burger.
I'll have 4 tax burgers, 1 IRS switch with Holder lettuce, 3 dependent size sodas, and a Ficuccino.
Hello, Schedule B. You should receive your burgers in 6 to 8 weeks.
Let's see here. Line 53, takeaway. Hey, Marge, what were your gambling losses last year?
$700!
So I have to ask, did you get the Ficuccino joke when you first saw this episode?
I'm not sure if I get the joke now, Matt. I mean, I know what FICA is, but I don't know what that's the only joke.
Back then, I couldn't watch these with subtitles, obviously, because they were, random things and they were on television or whatever. So I had no idea it was like FICA, like in, you know, the Federal Insurance Corporation Act, you know, the thing that takes money off your paycheck. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that I was, what the hell is a FICA-chino? I did not get the joke at all until I saw it spelled out in the subtitles, FICA-chino.
My question is, wouldn't Krusty Burger make more money if it was still just branded Krusty Burger?
I would think so, unless there's a lot of cost savings to be thought of in this particular way. But, you know, I think
rebranding is a part of, seems like a particularly grievous when they have to, like, there, it seems like it's like there's some sort of like spite involved when they're like purposely like erasing Krusty's face from the planet.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Maybe that's part of the punishment.
Maybe we're going to run everything you own into the ground. Yeah. But at this point, we see Krusty on his way home from the studio. He takes the bus now because he obviously can't afford a car. He's in sweats instead of his clown uniform. He basically finds everything at his house being auctioned off. There's an auctioneer selling his handmade leather suitcase that his grandfather, Zip, brought over when they came to America. It's sold to Selma for 40 cents, which she uses as a... some kind of soaking tub for her feet, which is all of his porn is sold to a mysterious Japanese bidder
for 12 cents.
Poor Jasper loses that because he only brought a dime, and then Mo buys his bed for $0.50 and then leaves and says goodbye to everybody, and everyone says goodbye Mo, which is just weird joke. Funny, but a really weird joke.
No, I feel like there's a lot of jokes in this episode that are throwbacks to like old vaudeville and old like variety show kind of style jokes. Like the goodnight, yeah. Everybody, like Mo says goodnight everybody. You know, it's a very much like, hey, it's, you know, hearkening to Krusty's theoretical history and show business. So I think that's, there's more that than one. There's multiple ones in this. Like Handsome Pete, like that. He himself, yeah. is a kind of a very old throwback idea. So, and it makes it honestly, it feels kind of like a little bit of glue to this episode, which otherwise would be, is so kind of madcap that it could kind of go off the rails at times.
They're the little jokes that kind of glue it together. Mm-hmm. They're glue jokes.
Glue jokes.
Joke glue.
Joke glue.
There you go.
Elmer's joke glue.
At this point, they begin to sell his plane, the I'm on a Roll of Gay, to which Krusty makes a bad Dean Martin joke. Then Krusty sits outside his house, drinks his malt liquor in his paper bag. Bart attempts to console him at this point, but basically Krusty is unconsolable. He basically says that his life is ruined, especially because of all those other people who have it better than him.
Everywhere I go, I see teachers in Ferraris, research scientists drinking champagne. I tried to drink a Coke on the bus, and they took away my pass. That's no life for a famous clown.
Yep, all those teachers driving Ferraris and those research scientists drinking champagne. Yep, they're all like.
Champagne's not that expensive.
Cheap stuff anyway.
there's a big difference. I mean, if you're getting real champagne, it's probably more expensive, but. Yeah, Ferrari. Have you ever seen a teacher? I've never seen a teacher drive a Ferrari.
I've never seen a teacher in a new car.
No.
Most teachers are driving cars at least a decade old.
Yeah, usually, or older for the most part. But I mean, this gives you insight into Krusty, you know, and why he does what he does. Like, Krusty isn't there to, like, entertain the children. You know, he's not there. Like, his motivation is not, oh, I want to make kids happy. It is, I want to be known. I want to have a lifestyle and let everyone know that I am better than them. I'm a big shot.
Which at the end gives a big speech about that.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And this is Krusty.
It adds to that character.
It does. Basically, this is one of those episodes where we learn even more about Krusty. I mean, we've learned about his dad. We've learned about his early years. We've learned about his comeback special. This is where we learn about why Krusty does what he does. And it's definitely not to be an entertainer. So. At this point, Bart offers to be punched if it'll make Krusty feel better, but Krusty tells him to go home. We then see that Krusty steals his plane. He steals the Monorail Gay and flies it, I guess, 30 feet up throughout the town screaming. he passes Superintendent Chalmers dropping Agnes Skinner off after a date and trying to invite himself in, which is just
terrifying. How old is Superintendent Chalmers?
I mean, I assume he's in his probably mid to late 50s.
That's what I think. But Agnes is what, at least in her 70s?
Yeah, that's why I'm like, this is a little weird.
That's a big, I mean, it's not that big of an age gap, I guess. Like, when you're older, it's a less big of a deal, but I don't.
It doesn't mean as much. Okay, I have a question for you. That tux that he's wearing, is that the prom tux he wore in one of the flashback episodes where they're at the prom?
I don't know, but yes. I'm going to say yes, it is.
Okay, he's kept it and he uses it for all his fancy dates. He has the prom tux.
Yeah, I would. If you told me that Chalmers had literally one tux that he has kept his entire life and that he is still fits in that tux, I would 100% believe you. So yes, it is.
Fair enough. At this point, we see the Simpsons. They come out to see Krusty fly by. At this point, like 8 feet in the air down their street.
He's higher than 8 feet. He's like 20 feet. He's up rooftop.
Okay, whatever. He's at rooftop level. Yeah, you're right. So they seem a little worried at first, but then they're like, oh, Krusty, he's still doing something incredibly dangerous to entertain his fans. Because, yeah, that's what this seems like. And then, of course, Bart has to give his little speech about how he sees the future going.
Oh, that's my Krusty. I got a feeling he'll be all right.
Which is just a great gag. Because Krusty literally crashes into the mountain behind Bart's head.
Yeah, it's good juxtaposition.
It is.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know how else you interpret him flying through the air, laughing maniacally as anything else. But, like, hey, I'm going crazy. But Bart's an eternal optimist.
Yeah. At this point, the town runs up to where Krusty has crashed and looks at the flaming wreckage, and Krusty is pronounced dead. No body or anything, but he's pronounced dead.
Well, I mean, I would complain, but it's Steve Wiggum. That's him looking at a plane and going, well, the plane exploded. He must be dead. Like, a funeral, no body. Like, if it was anyone else, I'd go, no, they would require more. But no, Chief Wiggum doesn't. He's incompetent. He doesn't know. That is a dead body. He picked up that part of the plane with Krusty's face on it, and he's like, oh, that means he's dead, right? There's his plane with his face exploded. He burnt alive, I believe.
Indeed.
I think that is their rationale.
Blood alcohol content helped.
That is their rationale, I believe, that his body just burnt to nothing that quickly.
That's how that works.
Yep. That is how that works.
And after that, we go to commercial.
Oh, when we come back. They're going to Krusty's funeral. Lots of celebrities. Homer is trying to console Bart, not doing a good job.
I can't believe Krusty's really gone.
Don't worry, son. I'm sure he's up in heaven right now, laughing it up with all the other celebrities. John Dillinger, Ty Cobb, Joseph Stalin. I wish I were dead.
I wish I were dead.
I don't... I feel like that's not fair to Ty Cobb. I mean, Ty Cobb was a very not nice person. He didn't murder, in Stalin's case, millions of people. Like, I don't think it's fair to put, like, the racist baseball player in league with the guy who committed genocide. Like, I think that is not a fair comparison.
They're different categories.
They're different categories, yeah. Like, one's a jerk, the other guy is a mass murderer.
Yeah.
We see Troy McClure is basically the MC for the funeral. I would think that this would be in, like, this part would be in a church, and then they'd have the actual
gravesite
thing different. But whatever. There's no body. I guess it changes things a little bit. We get Sideshow Mel unveiling Krusty's memorial, which is actually really, it's a nice memorial. Like, it's that itself is, like, it's very much like if Krusty actually did die, I think that would be a very nice like marker for him.
That's true. It's far more tasteful than I would expect from Krusty.
Yeah, it's just Krusty's face and his name and see you real soon, kids. Yeah, it's nice. We get Bob Newhart, who's there for an entirely different funeral.
Next in our cavalcade of celebrity mourners, Bob Newhart.
see, to tell you the truth, I'm I'm just killing time here. I was waiting for a different funeral to start.
I'll handle it.
Bob Newhart, everybody!
Oh, well, though I started my career several years before Krusty, so, I could never really learn anything directly from him. Still, I think in a way, in a very, very meaningful way, all of us have learned from him. That is by being a clown on television for so many years, even though, many of us, we didn't watch a show. Thank you.
That's a very Bob Newhart.
It's so good. I love Bob Newhart. I've watched all his sitcoms over the years. If you've never watched any of Newhart Show or Bob Newhart Show or any of those, go back and watch them. They're great. Bob Newhart is apparently they shut down production so that everyone could go see Bob Newhart record his lines because everyone everyone was so excited that he was going to be on the show. Also, this episode ran 6 minutes long because Bob Newhart obviously speaks slowly. Like, that's part of his, part of his style, honestly. Like, his comedic style is like, hey, I speak slowly, and it's... But Krusty also has a slower cadence, as a character than a lot of the other characters. So the episode was only supposed to be 20 minutes. Like, the audio track was only supposed to be 20 minutes long, but it was 26 minutes long. So they had to cut a lot out. So they ended up having to cut a lot of... They cut a lot of Bob Newhart. They cut a lot of Troy McClure because the episode was so long. In the crowd of the funeral, I think we saw, Lucius Sweets in there? And John Swartzwelder is in the audience as well, with a Kermit the Frog puppet on his hand.
Well, maybe they're just there for Troy, since he did the Muppets movie.
Maybe it's just Kermit is appearing, and they just wanted someone to be his puppeteer, so they drew it as John Swartzwelder.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm assuming.
That makes zero sense, but, because Kermit the Frog is not alive. I'm sorry, I hate to break that to you, Matt.
But, no, sorry.
Oh, come on. He's alive in our hearts.
That's true.
They're sitting Shiva at the Friars Club later on.
I think it's just pronounced Shiv.
Shiv?
Yeah, Shiva or something. Shiv or Shiva, not Shiva. That's the Hindu goddess.
Oh, right. I apologize. I'm not smart. Krusty gets a commemorative postage stamp that is him exploding. That's great.
Well, to be fair, they picked the other one, but that was one of the choices.
I would prefer the exploding one. Come on.
Well, yeah. If I go out in a blaze of fiery glory, yeah, go with the exploding one.
Come on. That's much more memorable. We get Homer telling Bart that that he could wake up dead tomorrow. It's a good thing to tell your son before he goes to sleep. But Bart starts seeing Krusty, or a facsimile of Krusty, just around.
Right.
He sees him driving down the street in a truck, and he talks to his mom about it.
Mom, I just saw Krusty.
Yes, dear, in your mind.
No, on the street.
On the street in your mind.
Why won't you believe me?
Sweetheart, maybe you just want Krusty to be alive so badly you think you see him everywhere. I went through the same thing when Lyndon Johnson died.
Sure, why not?
Whenever Marge mentions a celebrity of any type, I'm curious if they have any kind of, if the writers had any sort of through line in mind, or they just went, what's a...
Underappreciated people is the best I could do.
Oh, yeah, that's probably a president. Okay. Bart goes to the doctor's office, thinks he sees Krusty there. He is hanging out near the ocean, which, have we actually seen an episode where Springfield has been located near the water before?
Has a Squidport been part of it? Have we done My Sister, My Sitter yet?
No, that's later. For sure. My Sister, My Sitter is later. There's also the Apu immigration, which we have not done, which has them on a boat has...
That's true. I think this season has like three episodes that have it near the ocean. It's
yeah,
the first one.
I don't think... I can't place any earlier that we've actually seen Springfield near an ocean before. Bart is just over, like on a cliff looking over the ocean and sees a pearl diver. I'm assuming, or junk, like we see a guy diving. He's not even scuba diving, right? I think he just has a snorkeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who also looks like Krusty. And finally, he goes to Lisa because obviously Lisa's the person you go to when you have a problem and you don't know what to do.
Bart, you're seeing Krusty everywhere because you want to tell him you're sorry for causing his death. Would it help if I told you you're not responsible for Krusty's death?
Yes. Yes, it would.
Well, I can't. You'll just have to learn to live with your mental problem.
Wait a minute. All those things I saw, there's a connection. The truck full of nets and buckets, the queasy guy, the lobsters, they all point to one thing. Follow me.
So, we've got it, like, there's been a little tiny mystery has been introduced in this third act. You know, we get Bart seeing what he thinks is Krusty and then, like, putting things together. It's actually not really, it's not super subtle, but it is, like, you don't really notice necessarily. Like, did you put it together the first time? You remember anything about it the first time you saw it, Matt?
Oh, no. I was basically following along, not paying attention to it the first time I saw it.
Yeah,
honestly, it makes sense at this point.
No, it does. But, like, there's very little pieces all these sightings that is there. It, you know, it's not something... it's not really the inherent part of... It's not... The episode is not... It's not... I'm trying to way to put this. The episode does not rely on mystery to sell it in its entirety. You know, the mystery is just a small part. You know, it's the third, it's a,
right.
Provides the climax of the episode. But they go
yeah,
to...
Yeah, I mean, it only takes place for like the third act, so it's not like...
Yeah,
it's
and
like
not
whatever.
Even the entirety of the third act. It is like the last, maybe two-thirds of it.
Right.
They go to the docks, where the sea captain has a shop, because of course he does.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they meet Handsome Pete, who dances for nickels. Gotta love Handsome Pete.
Yep.
I can't really include a clip of Handsome Pete because he doesn't talk. He just
looks like Krusty with a weird, bigger face.
A little tiny Krusty and plays, what do you call those?
It's just an accordion, isn't
it's
it?
It's not an accordion. It's a different... It's the little... Oh... What does he play? What's the name of that instrument?
I don't think it really matters that much.
It matters. Everything matters.
Okay.
Concertina is the name of it.
Ah, of course.
He plays the concertina, dances for nickels. They've gone and looked everywhere. They can't find him. But Bart does spot everywhere in Springfield has like bad checks posted on the walls of every store. Like,
I think that was pretty common back in the day.
I guess that's, again, the thing with us growing up, post-checks really being very important because you don't really, I think you would write less, there'd be fewer bad checks because people just don't carry checks very often anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. And have overdraft fees gotten worse over the years?
I do believe they have, which is
weird. I know
they're
terrible.
They shouldn't happen as much anymore, but, you know.
Well.
They definitely have gotten more.
Well, the fees are... compound the issue. But he spots a bad check that has stars around the signature, which is just like Krusty, and it's Rory B. Bellows, who they confront at the dock.
Are you Rory B. Bellows?
Yes.
About Krusty the Clown?
Sorry, I don't do impressions.
Well, if you're not Krusty, how come you have the exact same signature as him?
I'm Rory Bellows, I tell you, and I got a lot of corroborating evidence over... here, by the throttle! Oh, you know, you two could have said something instead of letting me make an ass of myself.
Hey, you got a pacemaker scar just like Krusty. And Krusty's superfluous third nipple.
Can't you see I don't want to be Krusty anymore? That's why I faked my death.
But we saw your plane crash.
Yeah, but I wasn't in it. Just before I hit the mountain, I jumped out of the plane into a carefully placed net.
So, we find out Rory Bellows is Krusty. Bart is not crazy. He has been seeing Krusty. But the kids want him to come back. And This is a long clip, but I wanted to include pretty much all of it. So we get kind of, this is a very good, we mentioned earlier, very good shorthand for like what Krusty is and is not as a character.
So now that we've blown your cover, I guess you got to come back and do your show again.
Or kill us.
I won't be coming back, kids. I got a sweet life here. The sea air is clear in my lungs. The sun is toasting my pale skin a healthy brown. And most important, I learned that I don't need money to be happy. All that high living just distracted me from my true calling in life. Salvaging sunken barges for scrap iron. Sorry, kids. There's nothing left for me on dry land anymore.
But Krusty, what about all the kids who depend on you to brighten up their afternoons? Are you going to turn your back on them?
Yes!
Come on, Lise. Krusty doesn't want our attention anymore. Let's go worship somebody who has the guts to be a celebrity.
Yeah, Krusty doesn't want to be a clown. He's happy just being another blue-collar bozo.
Meh.
Krusty's tired of having phonies around, pretending to be his friends. I'm sure he'll find plenty of people who'll like him for who he is.
It could happen. Who needs friends? The incessant beep of the global positioning system is all the companionship I need. Tell me where you are now, you bastard! All right, I admit it. I miss the phonies. That's all I miss. That and Shirley Jones and Marty Engel's New Year's Eve party.
What about that great feeling you get from knowing you're better than regular people?
What about being an illiterate TV clown who's still more respected than all the scientists, doctors, and educators in the country put together?
Yeah! I'm not gonna let those guys hog all the respect while I'm out here in some stinking tub.
That's right. How dare those people have respect and Krusty doesn't.
It tells us that Krusty wants a comfortable lifestyle, but he also like thrives on being a big shot, a celebrity, even if it is a local one.
Well, he just wants people. He wants to feel better than people.
Well, I mean, I think he's grown accustomed to it. He's been a celebrity for how long?
Pretty much his entire life, really.
Well, the adult life, yeah.
Right.
After he's hosted the political talk show back in one of the 60s or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's... I'm trying to be succinct. I don't know. This episode as a whole very much demonstrates kind of our relationship with celebrity and how how complicated it is. Often we want them to be, you know, held to the same standard as a normal person, but in the same regard, we oftentimes don't.
Yeah. I mean, basically, we want celebrities to have a privileged position in society because we hope to be a celebrity someday. And basically, people want to think that it's possible for them to be above other people is essentially what it comes down to, which is probably not the healthiest attitude to have in a society, but it's what we got.
I know. What that banker says to Bart is like, you know, many people probably think of you as a hero, but I don't. I love Krusty. They want their celebrity. They're accustomed to being entertained by somebody, and they like, oh, I don't want that person to go to jail. I don't want that person to be affected. I want them to continue making this thing that I like. And ultimately is kind of a selfish, it's not because they care about that person necessarily. It's because it's very much like I consume their art. I want to continue receiving it. So if they are affected in some way, then I'm not going to get it anymore. And in the same way, Krusty himself is very much like, well, I'm better than everyone. I deserve to be treated better than everyone. I have been placed up on this pedestal.
And he enjoys that other people think the same way.
Yes, exactly. You know, the attitude that they have is what he, like, what kind of energizes him, I guess. But the episode ends with them, with Krusty swimming back to shore and him saying that the life of Rory B. Bellows was insured for a rather large amount, and then his boat explodes. Which in Springfield, yeah. In Springfield means that Ruby Bells is dead. That's what matters.
Yep. No need for a body. No he's need. Dead.
Yeah. So Krusty gets back to his normal life by committing more fraud.
Hey, fraud plus fraud equals legality. That's economics.
That's how life works, right? You just add the same. It's a double negative, and it becomes a positive.
Right. Exactly.
Good. I'm glad. Watching this episode again and thinking about it, I just find it delightful. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I can't pinpoint I do find it really hilarious. I mean, obviously, but it's a little different than most episodes.
Really? What way?
It's hard to say. It's just, it feels offbeat for sure.
Well, I mean, that's the Simpsons, though.
I know, but this episode feels offbeat from even the other Simpsons episodes. Maybe it's because it's a little bit more real. It is very much set in, like the IRS plays a part in this episode, and, like, normally the Simpsons, and by now the Simpsons, like, generally they ignore anything that gets in the way of the story, but in this case, the IRS, it becomes a part of the story. It's Krusty loses all his money, and then there's a little mystery in it. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
Fair enough.
I love the episode, though.
Oh, me too. This is one of my favorites. It's definitely, I would probably say top 20 for sure. Maybe top 10.
Oh, well, Matt, don't tip your hand.
Well, you know.
We will rank it at the end of the show. We do have a submission for my favorite episode, Matthew.
Well, I'm not surprised.
This is from Charlotte. I did a lot of soul searching. I've decided that between my two favorite episodes, I have to pick Bart the Fink. I love a Simpsons mystery, and especially love when that mystery has Bart and Lisa paired up. Phil Hartman emceeing at Krusty's funeral and awkwardly forcing Bob Newhart to give a eulogy is one of the funniest moments in Troy McClure history. Bob Newhart, everybody! Includes all my favorite moments, including Handsome Pete. Not a quarter, or he'll be dancing for hours. Homer filling in Marge's gambling losses while ordering an IRS switch. Bankers in ape costumes, a professional in an ape mask, is still a professional. Krusty and Dean Martin infringing on a song Dean Martin had written years before. And my all-time favorite Krusty moment, garnish my celery? It was a hard choice between this and Lisa's date with Density, but Bart the Fink will forever be my favorite episode. Thank you very much, Charlotte, for your submission. If you have a favorite episode out there, if you want to send it in, I will read it when we get to that specific episode, SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Guess what, Matt?
What's that?
It is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group and see what people are talking about the week the episode debuted. Generally, it's usually like general thoughts, if anything else newsworthy was happening that maybe sprung up. But reviews for this are all over the place.
Really?
All over the place. Like, there was literally, in all caps, this is the worst episode ever. I hate it. I can't believe I watch this show anymore. I'm ashamed to be a Simpsons fan. And then there's also, this is amazing. This is another A+. This is the best episode of season 7.
Well, I guess that kind of goes with your theory that it's different enough from a regular Simpsons episode that it just feels weird.
It's still funny, though. Like, I think beyond, like, I don't know, like, we are fairly, rigorous in how we critique these episodes. And I don't know, I felt this episode was very cohesive. It tells the story, like, it tells a very simple story very well. It includes a lot of characters. It's hilarious. I just don't understand, like, there's people complaining, like, if, I can understand if someone says something's not funny. I always, like, because that is, you know, humor is
subjective.
Humor is very subjective. But when they say, oh, the plot is boring or lazy and it doesn't make sense, I'm like, well, it's barely, like, Krusty loses his money, he fakes his own death, Bart and Lisa find him, he comes back. Like, it's, like, that is the plot, and it goes from A to B to C. It's pretty simple. It doesn't, or they say it's unoriginal. I'm like, well, that, I really, okay, really grinds my gears, Matt, when people use that unoriginality thing, because
right, I mean,
there's everything's unoriginal. There's nothing that is original. Like, I don't, that word has no meaning. That's that.
Yeah, it's like until society goes under a massive shift, most things will be some sort of remix of things that have happened before.
Yeah, there's only so many stories, and we just are re-spinning them in different ways and putting different context on them. But there's nothing else really. You know, it was mostly just reviews and people talk. Everyone does like Handsome Pete, even back then.
Well, I would hope so.
Even the haters, they're like, well, Handsome Pete was good. So we can find solace in that. That even the people who mostly didn't like it, they liked Handsome Pete. We can move on. Our next segment is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL's gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Marge quote? So many good answers. Really appreciate the response. Keep them coming in. First, from Adam. He says, from my favorite episode, I've been so bored since we moved here, I found myself drinking a glass of wine every day. I know doctors say you should drink a glass and a half, but I just can't drink that much. Marge. Oh, Marge. Lisa walks in on Marge squeezing ketchup packets into a bottle. Mom, what are you doing? This is how I save money on ketchup and mustard. Do you do it with relish? No, I'm kind of embarrassed about it. That's a good mom joke. Mike's answer, Bart. Bart says, I'm going to teach some Shelbyville kids a lesson. Marge's response, I choose to take that literally. And later, Marge's, Homer, Bart quit his tutoring job and joined a violence gang.
Yep, a violence gang.
You gotta watch out for them. John, you know, Homer, when I found out about this, I went through a wide range of emotions. First, I was nervous, then anxious, then wary, then apprehensive, then kind of sleepy, then worried, and then concerned. But now I realize that being a spaceman is something you have to do.
It's something that everyone really needs to do.
Mm-hmm. It's important to be spaceman. Daniel's answer, Marge's, why don't you bring this potato? It's pretty big. Mom, you're always trying to give me potatoes. What is it with you? Marge's, I just think they're neat. Marge's, I just think they're neat. It's pretty good. Amy, I put my answer in the other spot, but let's see. Marge singing, when you get a penny from a chum, just don't spend it on bubblegum. Put it in your cap. When Bart asks for $200.
Yeah.
I mean, what is a mother good for other than lessons on frivolity? It's important.
I suppose. Frugality?
Yeah, frugality. What did I say?
Frivolity.
No, Marge is not about frivolity. Marge is about frugality. There you go. Okay. Abby's answer. Lisa, I made you some homemade Pepsi for your dance. It's a little thick, but the price is right.
Oh, special.
Homemade soda. Ooh, okay. I think this quote completely encapsulates Marge's well-meaning, but sometimes misguided attempts to take care of her family. It's also a great mom thing, and Marge is the ultimate mom. Captain Marvelous, let's forget our troubles with a big bowl of strawberry ice cream. I say this whenever I can, even when alone. Kevin, Homer, is this projection accurate? And of course, are we in some kind of fiduciary trouble?
Fiduciary.
What did I say? I can't.
Fi.
Fi?
Short I.
Fi? Fi. Fiduciary? Fi. Fiduciary? Fiduciary.
Never mind.
Chris also is, I just think they're neat. In regards to potatoes, Brendan Oregano, what the hell, from The Mysterious Voyage of Homer, when she's examining the spice rack. It's the first time I ever heard my mother laugh at The Simpsons, and now anytime cooking comes up, one of us will invariably repeat it. Jennifer, you might say the extra ingredient is salt.
Yeah.
Time back to our earlier discussion. Dana, what's wrong, sweetie? Did a fictional character die? That's really good. Kenneth at KAllen42, Bart, stop pestering Satan. It's not canon, but shows how Marge continues to manage her family's insanity no matter what. Dan at Smokin' Dan, if loving my kids is lame, then I guess I'm just a big lame. Caroline at Karolinski, this town is a part of us all. 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 You'll remember it if she repeats it.
That's true.
Matt at Matt Henshaw 11, here comes the Shack Attack.
Sorry, that one every time.
Yeah. Shut your mouth, fat boy, at FatX Tony. Every Simpsons dance now. Bump, 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 bump. Oh, Marge. Will at Will's World MN. I forgot to clean the lint basket in the dryer. If someone broke into the house and did laundry, they could start a fire.
That's a risk we all take, March.
It is. And finally from Kyle. Bart, with $10,000, we'd be millionaires. We could buy all kinds of useful things, like love. Or double-ply windows. They look just like regular windows, but they'll save us 4% on our heating bill. I love how excited her voice starts off, as though buying the windows is an idea everyone would like, but as she continues to begin to trail off, sit down and realize her idea isn't that good after all. The reading of the line is perfect. I mean, 4%, it adds up.
It does. I mean, you can save a lot of money with that 4%.
Especially, depends where how much heat you use. Here, I would probably get, I'll take that 4%. I think our window's already insulated.
Probably. I would hope so.
Matt, what's your answer?
I'm going to have to go with, that sounds like a couple, that sounds like a hassle coupled with a burden. Because that's what I say all the damn time.
Mine is the oregano. The eight spices. Some of these must be doubles. Oregano? What the hell? It just really encapsulates Marge as both this really loving mother who loves cooking, but she has taken all her lessons from really bad, like her mother's probably cooking and cookbooks from the 60s and stuff, which is full of like, hey, like canned food is so new. Let's use canned food in everything and use a lot of salt and not actually like make things. Let's just add like six different things that are all canned into a pile. Green bean casserole.
Yeah, green bean casserole. It's definitely one of those. It's just like, this is not really healthy. It starts out healthy, and then you make it a lot worse.
Like, why can't... My problem with green bean casserole is like, I just want to eat the fried onions. I don't need anything else. Why am I adding in anything else to my fried onions? I want to just eat them out of the can, straight in my mouth.
Yeah.
Next week's question. What is your favorite Krusty quote? Hey.
That's going to be a tough one.
Hey. I will post on our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, reach out, follow, like, subscribe, social media words. Hey, Matt.
Yay, social media.
Someone messaged me on Twitter and is like, said, presumably Robbie. I'm like, yes, you're not going to talk to Matt. It's always me. It is time. Once again, Matt.
Oh, no.
For the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. This season we have a wager. Whoever loses the challenge must at least attempt to eat 64 slices of American cheese in a sitting.
Ooh, it's going to be tough.
Matt, I would happily eat 64 slices of American cheese before trying to drink the milkshake again.
Well, yeah, that's probably true.
That was unpleasant.
I would hope so.
You were there. You smelt it.
Yeah, I know.
It was a weird thing. You can see me drinking the milkshake on our YouTube channel. I'll start us off, Matt. You ready for an easy question?
Ready.
These are all from one episode. The episode titled The Lastest Gun in the West.
Ooh, okay.
From season 13. In The Lastest Gun in the West, what is the name of the retired Western star the family tries to rehabilitate?
Okay. It is... Wow, I thought I knew this. It's Buck McCoy?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You're correct.
Okay. Whew. I was like, Buck... And then the last name just dropped out of my brain.
He has a very Western name.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. I went a little easy on you this week, so, you know.
Oh, that's kind of you. I'm sure I'll get no questions right and be even more ashamed.
No, I think you'll get at least two of these and probably three.
Oh.
Okay, so in Lisa's Date with Density, who does Lisa date?
Oh, okay, I get one point. Nelson Muntz.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I got a point. I'm on the board. That is my goal every week. It's really just not to get zero. That is really all I'm trying to do. Your medium question, Matt. Buck McCoy is voiced by who?
By who? How would you expect me to know this?
You have an encyclopedic knowledge of The Simpsons, Matthew.
But not with random guest stars I've never heard of before. I didn't even know he was anyone famous.
And often, Matt, I don't know. I don't necessarily expect you to know the answers. The goal is for you to eat cheese, not me to eat cheese.
Right. I'm going to go with... The ghost of John Wayne.
No, it is actually Dennis Weaver. who was in Gunsmoke.
Who is Dennis Weaver?
He was in Gunsmoke, the longest running television show of all time.
Sure.
Which the Simpsons Simpsons will soon pass.
I would hope so.
Well, the Gunsmoke was only on 20 years. The Simpsons have been on for 28 now, and they still have, because they have less episodes per season. All right, give me a medium question.
All right, so your medium question. What do the bullies throw at Skinner's house in Lisa's Date with Density?
Expired coleslaw.
Close enough, rancid coleslaw.
Oh, well, I would assume rancid coleslaw is expired.
Yeah.
Okay, your hard question, Matt. And okay. Knowing you, you'll get this one right and not know the voice one.
I'm hoping.
At the end of the episode, Bart adds Homer and Buck to his list of heroes. Who else is on that list?
His list of heroes. So is Bart's list or Homer's list?
Bart's list.
Krusty has to be on there.
There's four names on it. I'm not going to tell you until you name all of them.
Including those two?
No. There's four others.
In addition to those two?
Yes.
So it's got to be Krusty. It's got to be who else? I'm going to go with Snake and let's see. Bart's heroes. Who would Bart consider a hero?
You're not going to. This is not like, hey, what makes sense?
Oh, okay. Okay, let's see here.
You'd have to go off your memory of the episode.
Of this episode?
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
You can't just go, oh, who are Bart's heroes?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Itchy, Scratchy, Poochie, and America's Firefighters.
Of course. Of course.
Then you had Homer and Buck.
Fair enough. All right, you ready for your last question?
Sure. Let's go for it.
All right. What kind of car does Chalmers drive?
They take the H. Nelson takes the H.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Honda or a Hyundai? I think it's a Honda. It's a Honda. Honda. Answer. Honda.
I'm going to need more than that.
Honda Accord.
I'm still looking for the year.
A year? You didn't make model a year?
Yes.
Okay, when did the episode? What episode was in? Is it in this season? Season 7 or 8. I know that. So it's 96. So 1993 Honda Accord.
Sorry, it is a 1979 Honda Accord.
So, I don't know. I just guessed a year. I hate you, Matt.
You're close, though.
So I get like 2 out of 3?
You got a Honda Accord. No, so sorry.
I got two out of the three things. So that's how that works, right?
No. All or nothing.
Garbage. This is garbage.
I know.
This is garbage. I think that'll do it for the No Google Trivia Challenge this week. But I did close the gap by 2 points. So I'm only losing by 8 now. I don't know how it's going to... I'm just going to have to somehow cram all of knowledge of The Simpsons into my head all at once. Like Matt does every week.
I'm going to try. I'm going to start watching even more. Can't let him through.
We can move on to our final segment. Segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is a part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. You were alluding to like top 10, top 20. Where was that, Matt?
My personal top 10.
Oh, in your personal top 10. Okay, well, where would you put it in our collaborative top? Whatever. Ooh,
that's a tough one. Let's see here. We've been pretty high lately. I mean, our last two episodes have been 10 and 11.
Because they're amazing?
Yeah.
We have made it fairly clear that, I don't know, I've certainly made it fairly clear that season 7 and 8 are my favorite seasons. They are my, they're my seasons. So a lot of those episodes are going to go high. I like them.
That's true. All right. So I'm definitely looking, Bart of Darkness is number 20. I think this is pretty easily better than Bart of Darkness. Do you agree?
Sure.
Okay. Sideshow Bob Roberts. That's a tough one.
It's better than Sideshow Bob Roberts.
Yeah. Where would you put it, huh? Mr. Smart Guy.
Huh? I would put it. I would put it right behind our last episode, actually. I put it right outside the top 10. Right above.
So number 11?
Open it and make it a new number 11.
So better than Two Bad Neighbors, not quite as good as Scenes from the Class Struggle in Springfield.
That's where I would put it, I think, yeah.
I think I would agree. I was trying to decide on Lemon of Troy and Lisa the Vegetarian, but I think the inclusion of Krusty and Troy McClure and Bob Newhart kind of put it above those. It really reaches for the extra awesomeness.
I was struggling earlier to try and put my finger on what makes this episode stand out in my mind, and I can't necessarily. It is more than just some of its parts. You know, it is how all those things fit together in a certain way. It adds, you know, it certainly adds a lot to Krusty's character, but the episode in itself does a lot of different things very, very well. It sets itself apart from other episodes in a very similar way that the Two Bad Neighbors does. Both of these episodes feel like they are, like, I think part of the reason I like season 7 and 8 so much is because they are even like the Simpsons were known for doing something different. Like they constantly doing different, like touches that made that show, this set the show apart. And I feel like these episodes even go further with that and set themselves apart from a lot of other episodes.
I would definitely agree.
New number 11 then on our list. No surprise. Bart the Fink right above Two Bad Neighbors, right below Scenes from the Class Struggle in Springfield. Number 1 is still Cape Fear. And last place is still Homer's Odyssey at 133. What is our next episode, Matt?
Let's see. Let's check the list. It is Lisa the Iconoclast. A little Springfield history for you.
Oh, man. Another one that I thoroughly love.
Yeah.
I think it's my favorite Lisa episode. I think I've gone on record saying that.
Really? Favorite Lisa? Okay.
I think so. I think it's right over Summer 4'2" for me. I think at least that kind of class. I think. Hard to say.
We'll see you next week.
You can find this list at our website, simply thesimpsonshow.com, with links to all our new episodes downloadable and streaming, links to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, to our Facebook, to our Patreon. If you want to throw the show a couple dollars, we'd really appreciate it. See, before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my other podcasts, The Handsome Boys Comics Hour, which is about comic books, and The Serial Fanaticist, which is Fanatic IST. It's general discussion, nerdy stuff. I really enjoy doing it. Matt does not participate in social media. Unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer, you will not find him.
That's true. I have decided to live among the turkeys to see how they live after our Black Thursday, which I imagine is what they call Thanksgiving, to see how they were affected. So get good at your turkey calls if you want to talk.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Aw, yeah.